We're glad to have Mike with us this morning. Mike is going to continue with our series that we've been speaking on. And Mike this morning is talking about love versus hate. All right? Do we love to hate or do we hate to love? Think about it. All right, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Mike. Would you like somebody, who would you like to open you up in prayer? Pastor Don, all right. All right.
We know if Mike's teaching, he needs a lot of prayer. So, Father, we give you thanks for the time this morning. And, Father, as we open your word, we pray that you would bring great things out of it. We pray for Mike, Lord, your anointing upon him. Lord, use him to touch our hearts, our minds, and even our wills to action. Father, we give you thanks for everything that you've done. Just bless this time, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning. So hope everybody has been doing well, has had a nice week. As we get started, sometimes it's funny how timing works. When the schedule was sent out about this teaching, there's what, maybe 10 or 12 teachings. And the only week I was not going to be here is the week I was scheduled to teach. So it's like 3 weeks from now, March 5th. So come to find out, Cody Herring had, you know, some things going on. So we switched. And with that, I was wondering, you know, I was praying and things about the topic I had at the time. And like, oh, this is going to be, you know, a little tough, but we'll make something work. And then when Cody and I had to switch, I'm like, oh, now it's love versus hate. And this is kind of something that God's put on my heart over the course of the last few months, you know, just trying to show love to each other. And the last time I taught up here, it was on, let me go ahead and get the actual, it was Needs of the Saints and Hospitality to Strangers was the title. But during that, I really focused on how to operate in love. Because if we operate in love, you know, anything can be overcome. Because in my opinion, it's the strongest feeling, if you will, emotion that there can be. So once I saw this, I kind of got, one, a little excited because it's been on my heart. But two, I know that one of two things, or maybe both, God's trying to work on. It's either something in me over, you know, being able to present this and teach it, or something that maybe someone here or some of you just, you know, need to hear or go about. So it's just, it's funny how, you know, it's a big coincidence, right, Bob? You know, something that, you know, it's weird how it happens, right? So today, the scripture that we have, I know it's a little bit small, but hopefully you can see it. I'm going to read it still. It's 1 John 3:11 through 24. It's subtitled, if you will, in the Bible, More on Love and Hatred. So, starting at verse 11, for this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and we know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. So, quite a long passage. But lots in there about how we can operate through God's eyes. Some things on love, some things on hate, some things on actions. So kind of using that as a tone setter to look other places in the Bible over this. So, you know, going back to finding out about teaching today, you know, it's really easy to approach situations out of anger, frustration, hate, because we're flesh. You know, we're not perfect. So if we were, it'd probably be a very easy world to live in. You know, in that passage, it says that people will hate us. Well, you know, part of that could be jealousy towards us, that, you know, they want what we want. It could be many, many different things. But as it gave some examples with, you know, Cain killing and different things there, the only thing that can overcome those type of actions is love. So as we get into things a little bit further, one of the things I always like to do is look at definitions. But before we do that, I just want to make a note that I know Pastor John's down there and Matthew Wydick's in the back. Over the last couple weeks, through a couple of teachings they've had, it seems like they've stolen all my scriptures. So I'll consider that good. I'll consider it confirmation. So if we're all using some of the same things, hey, so be it. That means that, you know, there's some type of thing that God wants us to be looking at. So our definitions, and these might seem pretty simple, but definition of love is strong affection for another arising out of kinship or personal ties, or the unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another. And for hate, intense hostility and aversion, usually deriving from fear, anger, or sense of injury, extreme dislike, or disgust. Now at the bottom you can see I've got some pictures, and I'll have some pictures throughout. So it was one of those things where I'm not a big-time creative person when it comes to these things. It's not hard to put those in there. But if they seem to kind of... I'm glad you said that, because last time, you know, with the needs of the saints, last time she's like, so, you know, what are your notes on? What are you, I know your topic, but what are you teaching on? I'm like, you don't get to see that. So all of this has been prepared, and I mean, it was left on a table last night where she could have snooped around, but she kind of knows how I feel about that. I want it to be fresh to everybody when we come, and she's not just going, oh yeah, I read that last night, you know, so I want it to kind of be in here for everyone. So I think when we think about love and hate, it's really easy for us to think about the distinction between the two, because usually when we think of love, we think, you know, hugs, being kind to one another. When we think of hate, we think of, you know, riots or fights, different things like that. But it can be so much more. You know, those are kind of like the extremes. You know, we can love on each other and not physically hug or anything like that. You know, we can hate something, or somebody can hate someone without physically harming them. So, like I said, I always like to start with definitions just to kind of tie that into not only what we usually think about it, but what it actually might mean. So under hate, intense hostility, I think that's usually what we think of, you know. So that's probably pretty close to what we would agree seeing or hearing about hate, you know. But love, strong affection, the part that I thought about love, unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern. Okay, so if one of you were to tell me, you know, hey, Mike, I'm going through this, I'm going through that, you know, I can show love to you by just even having that conversation with you. It might be something you want to get off your chest. It might be something that, you know, who knows, God might have a word for me that I could tell you, or, you know, someone else that you talk to. You know, it can be totally different than what we think of, or exactly what we think of in different times. So in the Bible, you know, I did a little bit of research here. I started thinking, how much is love mentioned compared to hate? And in my mind, I'm like, it just seems like love is mentioned a whole lot more than hate is. But I wanted to find out if I was right or not. So does anybody care to take a guess how many times just the word love is mentioned in the Bible? I heard something from, is that Sammy around the corner? He said 600? 385. Okay, how about, yeah, odd or even now. So how about hate? Think it's more or less, and how many? Half as much, okay. It's always good when you can count on your wife to throw out an answer when no one else wants to. So in the Bible, Love is mentioned 551 times in the NIV Bible. And that same NIV, hate is only mentioned 80 times. Now, put the little asterisk there. This does not include similar words like loved, loves, hatred, so on and so forth. So that number would be far bigger. So love is mentioned about 7 times more frequently in the Bible than hate is. Any surprises? I mean, it seems like it should be. And then, of course, about 7 times. Well, I don't know. I haven't been attending church for much of my life, but the number 7 seems to stick out from time to time as something that just might have some significance. So, actually,
say it again. Sorry, hate mentioned more times in the Old Testament than the New. Did you know that? That's, I don't want to put you on the spot. Just
You're fine. There was, No, there was actually a really good website that I found these on. It broke it down where it said it was Old Testament, New Testament, and then total. And I do believe, yes, you would be correct, which to me would make sense, you know, because most of the New Testament about Jesus, you know, more about love than hate, to where battles and different things in the Old Testament, you know, would make sense about having hate in there more than it would in the New Testament. So I don't have the website on me. If I saw it, I'd know it right away. But it breaks down all these different words. You know, you could, it could be anger. It could be anything, really. There's like 1,000 words in there that it tells you each different version of the Bible and New and Old Testament, how many times it's mentioned. So it was really a, I spent probably 20 minutes or so on that just looking at different words and was amazed that, oh man, you know, this one really comes up that much, or I can't believe that word, it was mentioned so few times. So, Pastor Don?
Yeah, you're speaking of definitions. Did you find the different words that are used for love? Because we have in our in the English translations, there's different Greek words that are translated love, but they actually have different meanings. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you got to be careful because, you know, when we read things in English, it's like, okay, we have a tendency to apply our English definition to it, but behind the Greek word, there's a whole different meaning which is sometimes not translated out. Mm-hmm. If you happen to see, know what any of those words are?
Agape.
Oh, very good. There's one.
Is there 4 of them?
There's 4 of them. Filio.
Filio, yeah. So.
Eros. I forgot what the last one was. But what they do is they just represent different degrees. Like agape would be a total God love, giving everything.
Yeah.
Filio would be like a friendship type
brother
of love.
Brother,
it's not the same degree. You know, you're close. Eros would be kind of a sexual type of thing, and the other one was kind of even, you know, like we love, we use the term we love ice cream, you know, but they would never use that type of term. You know, so it's interesting to see how those terms are used. And I tell a story all the time where Peter, you know, he had denied Christ, and after his resurrection, we read in the English, Peter, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Peter, you know, and you go through this whole thing, and everybody has a tendency to think, well, he denied him 3 times, and now he's just kind of confirming his love towards him again. But there's a play on the Greek words there, which is really interesting, where Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? And what he's really saying is, do you love me 100%? Because Peter shot his mouth off and said he would die for him. And that is like that would be like that 100% agape love, willing to lay down your life for that cause. Well, Peter obviously failed that test. And so now he's going to bring Peter a little humility. You know, Peter, do you agape me? But Peter answers him. And he says, Lord, I philo you. I love you as a friend. In other words, I don't love you 100%. I love you maybe 40%. And then he asks him again, do you agape me, Peter? And he answers again, I philo you. But then the third time, Jesus changes the word and he says, do you philo me? Do you love me 40%? He meets him where he's at, basically. And that's when Peter says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I only philo you. So he, you know, he, and then he tells him, feed my sheep, you know, and that type of thing. So the Greek, and unfortunately the English, when we translate from one language to another, it doesn't catch those kind of nuances. And, you know, so when we speak about love or hate or whatever topic it might be. But I always found that interesting because we do read so much about love in the Scriptures and we're commanded to love one another. And we ask yourself, what kind of love is he referring to? And, you know, and you know, we see it used, you know, like you said, seven times more than hate. And that should be the characteristic, you know, of Christians towards one another. Unfortunately, we don't see that a lot of times, though, do we?
I think without a doubt the reason love is explained more than hate. We don't have any problem hating. That seems to come natural. But we do need help in loving, right? And that's why it's mentioned so many times that that's a problem that we have. We can hate with no problem, but it's hard to love sometimes. And that's why it's seven times it's there more often is because we need it more.
We're hard-headed. Yeah, yes. Hate's almost like our default reaction, you know, so... whatever, you know, we kind of see is because we're flesh and we're not by any means perfect, even though we could try to operate in love, you know, our first reaction many times is out of hate or anger or, you know, whatever it might be. So I was talking to a friend this week, and this had less to do with actual football and things like that than it did of making a point of math to me. So we were talking about the Super Bowl, you know, great game, incredible comeback by the Patriots, and, you know, he's a Michigan fan, likes Tom Brady, but, hey, no problems. He goes, one of the greatest comebacks ever. I said, yeah, it was good. And he goes, he broke records, he did all this. I'm like, hold on. I said, I'll give him credit for helping bring the team back, even though it was a team effort. But when a quarterback throws 62 passes in a game, shouldn't we kind of expect that records might be broken? And he goes, no, he still has to play the game. I go, yeah, but if he threw the ball 25 times, would we even be talking about records being broken? Probably not. You know, so he stayed hard-headed, told me that I was just hating on Tom Brady. I'm like, to me, it's just math. If I threw the ball as a quarterback 62 times in a game, I would expect to have incredible statistics. You know, if I didn't, if we were up the whole game and we were running the ball, I would not expect to have incredible statistics. So it was kind of that give or take type of situation to where he's like, oh, you just hate on Tom Brady. I'm like, dude, he's by all means one of, if not the best of all time. That's not hating. I'm just trying to pull out a math part here that says you throw the ball that many times, it's a good chance you're going to break records.
You're so missing half the equation. You had another team there. If they had to slow down, stop, that wouldn't happen too, so you're missing
the equation. Well, I mean, there was much more to
not
the discussion, but you're right. So, I mean, you know, it was one of those things that, you know, with such a big disparity like this, you know, it tells me that something's bound to happen. The levee's bound to break at some point if we actually follow the example of love seven times more than hate of one time. So, you know, to me that was... it was just a funny way to think about it, to try to relate those numbers. You know, on a big scale, when we think of love versus hate, if we try to think of the different battles in our life, you know, God versus devil, light versus darkness. So kind of, you know, on the top, a couple simple of equations. Jesus equals love equals the light. You know, the devil equals hate equals the darkness. So Ephesians 5:8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. So he's telling us to step out of that darkness, out of that hate that we can so easily default to and have troubles with, and try to make a conscious effort of living in love and showing the light to others. We're going to continue in looking at love first, since, you know, equation-wise, it stacks up to where it should come first. So John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things are made. Without Him nothing has been or was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light to all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So this is one that Pastor John used a few weeks ago, and it got me thinking a little bit differently about this scripture. So the big thing that I notice is in the very first part, about halfway through the first line, Word, and at the very end, it's capitalized. So if it's capitalized, it's referring to? There you go, Christ, right? It's referring to Jesus. So That's telling us in the beginning there was God, there was Jesus, there was love. Because so many times we equate God with love. So we can say in the beginning there was Jesus. So in the beginning there was love, not hate. Doesn't mention hate there. We know Jesus is love. He's not hate. So even though hate came with sin, love started everything. So we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that love of us then being created. You know, with hate coming with sin, and it seems to come more prevalent each day, you know, it can be tough to overcome. You know, there's so many different things where we look in the world and we're like, what is going on here, you know? But there's only one thing that can overcome that, and it's love. So, continuing.
Mikey.
Yeah, go ahead, Sandy.
I like your little bat. Looks like a Valentine's from Jesus. He loves his
church. Well, you know, Valentine's Day in a couple days, I didn't think about that, but hey. Little did we know that I can play with the calendar, too, so.
Yeah. Don't be modest, Mike. You can do that.
You know, there's that joke of why the guy get fired from the calendar factory. He took a day off. Look, that comes from my middle schoolers. Some of these jokes that middle schoolers will tell you, they're funny, but you know that's the type of reaction I would expect from adults. So this week,
just went over our head. We didn't understand it.
Ah, perfect. Now I'm glad I know, so I have to dumb it down a little more next time. So. This week, I had a lot of time at school afterwards. I was working a couple of different games that start, you know, an hour after school. I stuck around in the city Tuesday to go to the varsity basketball game, Friday to announce the girls' varsity basketball game. So most of everything I had prepared, you know, I prayed about and had a lot of things come beforehand. But this type of stuff came during that extra time I had. You know, what better to do after a day of work instead of just sitting, doing nothing, or running around, doing whatever, then, you know, spend it with God and prepare. So in that time, I had contacted Brian Wilkerson because he was up here last week, and we talked for a moment just over text, and then I went to look up some scriptures, and I go to Bible Gateway, and the verse of the day that day was this one right here, Psalm 97:10. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. So that tells me, one, I probably made the right choice in sticking around and going ahead and doing some of that this day, because otherwise I wouldn't have come across this, to which it's exactly kind of what we're talking about today. You know, so let those who love the Lord hate evil. So we've talked about how sometimes it's hard to choose love over hate. But here, God is telling us that if there is evil, we do not have to fall into that trap of going along with it, of agreeing with it. We are allowed to hate those types of things that can bring us or our brothers and sisters down, or anyone for that matter. So this kind of goes along with that, choosing love over hate, some ways that we can attempt to do that. Try to think as positively as much as possible as we can about situation. Make a conscientious effort to be positive in any and all situations, and then speak life and speak love, and then of course we have to show it. If we speak those things but we don't show them, people are going to look at us as false, which then gives everybody a bad name, if you will. So, oh, he talks about love, he talks about love, and then all of a sudden the first chance he gets, he hates. You know, it doesn't work that way. The next one here, when bad things happen, do we necessarily hate the person? You know, maybe we feel that we do. If somebody does something bad to me or somebody does something bad to you, you know, we might feel at that point, oh, I hate blank. Well, chances are we don't really hate them. We might hate the action that they took towards us instead of them, or the situation or the outcome we were in. But all of these can be overcome by love, as mentioned before. So, for example, nobody here hates Fred today because there's no breakfast. Okay? Now, we might hate... Yeah, we won't go to a vote. We might hate the situation. Okay, there's no breakfast. We might not like that situation, but we don't hate Fred. Okay? I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess it was an honest mistake with Fred. So, therefore, we don't hate Fred. We might be a little down in the fact that there's no breakfast. So it's not always hating the person. So what that can lead to is us hating the action, which back in the last slide, or two slides ago, the Lord tells us we can hate evil. We can hate things that maybe, you know, we don't want to confuse those. Okay? We can dislike something but not hate a person. Because if we hate a person and we're trying to show them love, we're going to have a big conflict of our own on our hands. Matthew 10:22 tells us to stand firm, okay? You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. So even though there might be hate coming our way, if we stand firm in God, we show love, we're going to be saved. This kind of goes back to a couple slides ago. Hateful actions, do they equal a hateful person? So we might know people that seem to always spew negativity, especially when it comes to, you know, Facebook and those kinds of things. So we have to realize that everybody's imperfect, first and foremost. And kind of as, you know, Bob mentioned earlier, it's our default flesh reaction to go to things of the world. So, and that's why, because we're not perfect. So we've all probably done something hateful before, and chances are we've been forgiven, or we've been forgiving others, there we go, when they do something that maybe we don't like in that situation. So John 2:15-17, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. So, kind of helping us recognize that, you know, things that are bad don't come from God. Things that are good come from God. So if we can follow those good things and do it in love, he's telling us that, you know, we're going to be able to see and live in his will. And kind of finishing up here, you know, not a whole lot of time left. Eddie Medrano says, all right, so a couple weeks ago, Eddie gave the sermon downstairs, and he said, we're going to have a fire, but what will it be for, and how long will we use it? That really hit me, as that can be used in anything we do. You know, whether we're building something at home or teaching somebody, you know, maybe kids how to do math or spell, whatever it might be, you know, we're going to have some type of passion, some type of fire to drive us, or we're probably not going to do it. But then the question is, you know, what's it going to be for? How are we going to use it? And how long will that last? Okay, so when it comes to love versus hate, if we don't really care and it doesn't matter to me if I show love or hate to Dwayne, then 1 week I might love on Dwayne, the next week I might hate on Dwayne, then he might get mixed signals like, what's been up with him lately? You know, so that's one thing that we just have to realize. What's it going to be for, and how long will it last? And hopefully it's for the good of God, for his kingdom, and it's going to last as long as he wants us to have it last for, which might be forever, which might be for just that period of time that maybe somebody's struggling that we're talking to. Donna, I hope you don't mind that I stole that picture. So I thought that if he were here, that you'd probably laugh a little bit. So,
take off his driver's license.
Yeah, I went to Google and I typed in Eddie Medrano mugshot, but I couldn't find anything. So then I went to Facebook and found, you know, that's a good picture of him, looking snazzy, looking good. So last couple of scriptures here before. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3 says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So everything we have and everything we do, going back in the Word, or in the beginning was the Word, everything is because of love. Everything we have is due to love. And then John 16:33, I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Once again, an act of love that kind of set everything open for us to be able to receive. Anything we could possibly face has already been overcome. Not by us, but by somebody that loves us that is greater than us. Okay, barriers don't break down. Barriers of hate do not break down due to more hate. They break down due to love overtaking those. So in the end, love wins. It's kind of like a little secret from me to you. Now, as we end, I've got a video that's about 4 or 5 minutes long by someone that I've kind of followed since I was very young, all right? Growing up listening to different Christian music, one of the people I've become very fond with is Toby Mac. Okay, many, many different things that he does outside of just music that you can tell that he tries to operate out of love many times. The video we're going to watch, the first time, I was just thinking, I heard the song about a week before Cody and I had to switch messages. And when we switched, it was like the first thing I thought of. So I said, no matter what, I'm playing this song. Well, in that, I end up finding that he's released it as a single, if you will, and there's a music video to it. And, you know, behind this big, rough, and tough exterior, I kind of teared up when I first watched it because it relates to so many things that we see happening today, to where at some point love is going to win. Even though we might want it to right now, it might not happen right now, but at some point God overcomes and love is going to win. So the song is Love Broke Through by Toby Mac.
Feeling that, feeling that breeze, singing like a song through the tall oak trees. It was just another summer night, had to be the last thing on my mind. Yeah, I was all but lost in the moment. I was young and running wide open. It was just another summer night, had to be the last thing on my mind. Mm-hmm. When love broke through, you found me in the darkness, wandering through the desert. I was a hopeless fool. Now I'm hopelessly devoted. My chains are broken, and it all began with you. Broke down dusty room. It was the first time I said I'm yours.
the first time I called you Lord. When love broke through, you found me in the darkness, wandering through the desert. I was a hopeless fool, now I'm hopelessly devoted. My chains are broken, and it all began with you. When love broke through, ooh, and it all began with you. When love broke through. Yeah, it was late in the summer when the northeast breeze sang like a song through the oak trees. Pennsylvania, she kinda caught my soul, which had me a little more open to close. Walls I built, opinions I learned, covered in the ashes of bridges I burned, blind to the arrow that was headed to my heart. But you hit the mark. When love broke through,
kind of seen things like that happen in the last year or so about many different things, to where all it takes sometimes is one little action for love to break through and love to eventually win. So that's about time, Bob.
Give him a hand.
So, thanks for having me. Obviously, sure, I'll close. We've got some good times ahead
temporary
of us.
Close. You will
here
be back.
Well, so, oh, I'm.
Who would you
I
like to close?
Let's go with Mr. Hogan. Well, Kenny, we get it. Ken. Let's go. Let's go with Mark.
Mark.
Haven't seen Mark in a while.
Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. We just want to thank you for this day, Lord God. We thank you for the word that was put forth by Mike, Father. And let us always remember that the fire inside us, like Eddie said, let it continually burn throughout our lives. Now, Lord, as we go about, let us show the love of Jesus in everything we do, everything we say, and every action that we do, Lord God. We give you glory. We pray a blessing on the service, Father. We just thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.